AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we're back. Episode 19 of the 1973 podcast. As you can see, I'm pulling a Ted DiBiase. I'm vacationing at my summer home in Hyannis, Florida. Throwing it old school for you old school wrestling fans. If you get the joke, you do. If you don't, you know, we shouldn't be watching this podcast. So I'd like to start off by introducing, as always, the best tag team in the podcasting business, Tom, Ed. And Tom, we got to talk about the shirt before we get into emails. Got to talk about the shirt. We're gonna be selling those shirts pretty soon, so keep your eye out.
Chris from North Carolina inspired me to embrace the suck in my sucky picks. So you know, this is for you, Chris.
I love it. We love it. That's what it's all about. It's all about putting smiles on faces and getting a little chuckle here and there. So, we're going to start off with what we usually start off with this week's email. It's going to probably go into a bigger topic. So, Ed, read it.
All right, here we go. This is from Derek from Buffalo, New York. Derek, thanks for sending in the email first and foremost. Thank you very much, everybody that sends in emails. We do appreciate it. We will get to them. So, please keep them coming. Hey, 1973 Pod, you guys need to talk about why my favorite player, Alex McGillaney, is snubbed again for the Hall of Fame. Boris?
Tom, you want to start with a little? Let's get some heavy-handed comments on this whole Hockey Hall of Fame. They seem to go the route of WWE now, where they have to have certain criterias and they have to meet a certain standard every year. Which to me doesn't make you a Hall of Famer just because you have to. They have to pick. And I know I have a daughter that plays hockey. Nothing against the women that play hockey, but if you don't deserve to go in before somebody else, you should not take a spot from a legit Hall of Famer. That's my two cents. But let's do a deep dive into this. Take it, Tom.
I agree with the criteria for what they do just doesn't make sense. It seems like they're going for more like team achievements where you have to have a Stanley Cup, but majority of the people in there have a cup. It doesn't make sense with McGillaney. I mean, the guy's got everything. He's got he's played 990 games. He's got 473 goals, 559 assists for 1,032 points, and he's a plus 81, and he's got a cup. I just don't understand it. I don't know if it's a Russian bias. I don't know what it is, but he should be in. I mean, and it's not just him. There are a bunch of people that have been held out and snubbed.
Okay, before we go too far, Ed, give me your thoughts on McGillaney.
I mean, look, he was one of those guys that he really, when he touched the puck, I mean, man, he brought excitement to the game. You know, I mean, like, you knew, okay, when that dude touched the puck, man, something special was going to happen. And to piggyback on Tom's points, I mean, he is a member of the 1,000-point club, and he is fourth all-time among Russians for points. So the thing about it is that the man played for a long time, and if you are using the marker of a Stanley Cup, he does have that one too. So, you know, the thing about it is that, and to circle back to your point, Andy, here's the thing. Like, I mean, my feelings about Title IX, I think that, you know, for people that don't know what Title IX is, that's actually making sure that intercollegiate sports have the same percentage of women that have on scholarship and everything like that as men at a university. So, that receives government funding. So I'm all about that. But the thing about it is that you're bringing in these women and you're cutting out these guys that certainly deserve to be in the Stanley Cup. In the Hall of Fame. And I don't understand that. I mean, if you let's get the correct amount of men in there and let's also induct these women in there. I mean, you know, it's not like, you know, that you have to like put on this whole brand new wing of, you know, every time you add on players. I mean, I don't understand the thought process behind it. You know, I think that, you know, for him, I mean, he really, truly changed the game. I mean, back in those, you know, the early, you know, late 80s, early 90s with those Buffalo teams, I mean, he was badass. Andy,
The thing about Mulgilney that's awesome is he was the first one to defect. He was the guy that secretly they smuggled him out of the World Juniors. You know, it was cloak and dagger stuff to get him here. And he was the first one to do it. So if it wasn't for him doing it, none of the other guys would have been able to do it. So it's just blows my mind how there's a standard where they're heavy with certain things and not heavy with other certain things. Look at Bill Clement. I love the guy. Love him. Not a NHL Hall of Famer, but he got in as an announcer because he was great. Gary Thorne, Bill Clement. But you know what I mean? What more can you ask for? He was a staple. Those two guys were awesome. So he deserved, if they put him in like that, deservingly so. But he shouldn't, guys like that shouldn't take a spot, or certain gals shouldn't take a spot from somebody that deserves it. Look at Sergei Gonchar. He's not in the Hall of Fame. If you pull up his stats, he's the only guy above him and below him. Like, he's got better numbers than I think Chris Pronger, and Pronger's in the Hall of Fame. I don't know what it is, if it's a bias, you know, towards certain guys because there's stories about them that we don't know, whether they were pains in the ass behind the scenes. I don't know if they're getting the Jim Rice type treatment, but I don't get the whole deal where, you know, if these guys aren't in the Hall of Fame, why can't we know? You know, full disclosure, if the guy was a crackhead, then whatever, say it. But don't leave people thinking that it's a farce to be in the Hall of Fame because it's pro-Canada, or you know what I mean? You look at the list of guys that have Hall of Fame numbers compared to guys that are in the Hall of Fame, and three of them are Flyers, and it's Brian Propp, John Van Beesbrouck, Brad McKinnon. They have all Hall of Fame numbers that guys are in with the exact same numbers. They're not in. Gonchar's not in. Keith Tkachuk's not in. Roenick's not in. You know why he's not in? Because he's got like the Jim Rice type, you know, personality. Yeah, he's. They don't want him in because of things that he said or whatever. I just ran into him recently at a signing. And when he went to sign my Blackhawks jersey, he said, well, I'm going to leave it for Hall of Fame next year. And I'm like, oh, well, he must know something that we don't. Well, guess again, snubbed. He must have thought he was going in. But Tom Barrasso is going in, though. I don't get that.
I don't even think Vernon should be in if over guys like Van Beesbrouck and even Cujo. Cujo's stats are better than Vernon and Barrasso, to be honest with you. Only thing he doesn't have is a cup.
Right. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Go ahead, Ed.
Well, I'm going to say this. It's like, here's the thing. Like, you know, like we talk about these guys, you know, that are great hockey players, football players, baseball players, and stuff like that. And to put these guys up on a pedestal and make them out to be like they're these deities, like, you can't do that. I mean, they're human beings. They make mistakes. And you know, to your point about, you know, being a pain in the ass behind the scenes, look, if you've never been around pro sports or been around something like that, these guys are commodities and they know it. Like, these guys, they know that they have a certain amount of time. And the thing about it is, it's like, look, there have been many, many times that management screws over these guys and they window dress it. I mean, we don't have to go that far, you know, with the NFL to, you know, look, and I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but like, there's a lot of guys that are out there that the way that they were treated and stuff like that, and to the vice versa, there's a lot of times where clubs have tried to help these guys and they don't help themselves. So, I mean, there's two sides to every story. Somewhere probably in the middle, there lies the truth. But the thing about it is that the Hall of Fame is he a great hockey player or is she a great hockey player or not? Period. You know, if there is a backstory to it, fine. That's okay. Look, I mean, there are certain things that I would say that would definitely, you know, not allow you to be in the Hall of Fame. One being, you know, betting on sports. I think that kind of really kind of crosses the line, or some sort of, you know, pedophilia type thing, you know, or some sort of like murder/rape charge. Like, those would be kind of like the exceptions. Look, we didn't, you know, for the three of us, we grew up, we're kind of children of the 80s. You know, our parents used to drive around, have one for the road with a roadie between their legs. You know, I mean, the 80s, you know, Studio 54, everybody's, you know, doing bumps of lines off of toilet seats. So, I mean, people in the 80s were not exactly like, you know, holding hands and singing Kumbaya, you know?
Yep. Tom, any thoughts on this year's Hall of Fame class as a whole?
I had no problem with who they put in. Well, I did have a problem. I mean, I think who got in deserved it, except for I don't think both Vernon and Barrasso should have gotten in, especially in the same year. I just – their numbers – the voters have to be more consistent with their selections and how their criteria for how they're doing it, because it seems like it changes every year. I mean, it seems this year they wanted guys with cups. Well, Barrasso, if he wasn't with Pittsburgh, with those dominant Pittsburgh teams, he more than likely wouldn't have won the cup. I mean, he more than likely would. I mean, he did have that. He did win the Vezina, I believe. But I mean, I just don't think he had a Hall of Fame career or ahead of some of the guys that haven't been in. I mean, I don't know. I'm just not very happy with the criteria they use.
So the funny Tom Barrasso story that is when he came into the league, he was with Buffalo, and on his mask on the back of it, he had AW, and somebody asked him what the AW was on the back of his mask, and he said All World.
Yeah.
And when Darren Pupa took over, when he left, he put AU on the back of his helmet to spite him. And when somebody asked, what does the AU mean? He said, All Universe. So it's just stories within stories that, you know, if you didn't hear it, you never hear that stuff. So Darren Pupa is definitely not a Hall of Famer, but who knows? 10 years from now, he could be, the bee's knees and get in. So who knows? The Hall of Fame is so all over the place, and it's like that with every sport too. It's like it becomes very charitable after a while. So with that being said, let's move on. Let's before we get going with some wrestling talk, we're going to talk Dark Side of the Ring. We're on the cusp of the Forbidden Door pay-per-view tonight, and I want it on record, why you two guys aren't interested in the Forbidden Door pay-per-view. Go ahead. Say it like it is.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not paying money for it. I'm not spending whatever it is, $40, $50. I mean, the pay-per-view prices are ridiculous now.
Ed, thoughts on Forbidden Door, New Japan Pro Wrestling versus AEW?
First and foremost, why would I pay for something that I can watch during the week? I mean, the thing about it is that, you know, they, for over the last past year and a half, AEW has consistently put great product on a Wednesday night. They've put their superstars out there, and, you know, with table matches, ladder matches, steel cage matches, almost like War Games.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they put these things on regular TV and national TV. Why am I going to pay $50 to watch something that, quite frankly, the stuff on Wednesday nights is sometimes better? And the thing about it is that, look, and we've talked about this many, many times. I mean, you know, it, like,
let me fix these jerseys while you're talking.
Yeah. I mean, these war games, you know, I mean, like, that should be something that you build. That should be a three, four month build to them. You know, why am I gonna pay for a pay-per-view that, like, I mean, you know, Dustin Rhodes that time, I mean, lit the table on fire and his last match and got suplexed onto the table. That's a pay-per-view match, right? You know, like, you know, coffin match. That should be pay-per-view, you know? So that's my take, man. Go ahead.
I think those matches too, anything with a gimmick in it should be a blow-off match. You build to stuff like that. You build a crescendo to where you're going with the story. And then with those gimmick matches like that, I know this was a Forbidden Door question, but those gimmick matches, it's a blow off. One wins, but whoever loses still stays hot to go on to wherever they're going next. That's kind of how it works. And when you got 5 hours now of TV of AEW, and it's tough now. They're splitting the show with Punk's crew is on one show, and then the Bucks crew is on the other show. And it's like, you're making millions of dollars here. Let's get on the same page. If you don't like somebody, that's how it is. Not everybody's going to get along. So, and it's wrestling. It's not ballet. Stuff's going to happen.
Tension is good.
Yeah, tension is great. Tension is really good. Yep. Controversy creates cash sometimes. That's I think that's Bischoff's book, but you know, that's just how it goes. Tom, thoughts on, you know, that the whole AEW fiasco with Forbidden Door?
I totally agree with what you just said. And what I forgot who it was. It was either Kevin Nash or Scott Hall used to say, it doesn't matter if you get along with the guy. If you're both going to make money out of the deal, you got to do business. It's just good business. So it's just, right. These guys need to put that stuff aside and do business with one another, because that is a match that people would want to see, is that those Punk's crew and the Young Bucks crew and Omega. I mean, that is something I think fans would all want to see. And I think it's probably their best, their most like money match right now that they could do.
I think they should save it if they're going to do it for Wembley Stadium. You know, yeah. that what is it? Is it All In? Is that the one that, or All Out, one of them? But you know, that's, they got to fill that stadium somehow, and they got to do it with some kind of thing. And, you know, are there going to be surprises tonight? Is Sasha Banks going to show up? Is Drew McIntyre going to show up? There's things I heard that the partner for Sting and Darby Allin is it John Morrison?
They announced it last night. I think it's going to be Naito.
Wrestler. Okay. Oh, they couldn't just give you a surprise.
Morrison is there. He showed up, and he's actually with QT Marshall's crew.
Oh, okay. The Curtain Jerkers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Curtain Jerkers. Johnny Television or whatever his name is. Johnny TV. The thing that's crazy about the Forbidden Door thing is the concept is great, but I don't like the New Japan thing. Maybe one match from there, but you know, you would think that it the concept is, you know, working with WWE and getting somebody that they're not using and have them come in and do an appearance, and the concept would be great, but it's not utilized correctly. So, I mean, it's just if that's the case, is it just to get the Japanese wrestlers over in the US? So whatever. With that being said, let's skip to Dark Side of the Ring. This week, great one. A pure maniac. This guy was definitely unstable. Matt Bourne, definitely issues, problems with almost everybody he worked with. Ed's favorite character, Big Josh, with the axe handle. He was a big fan in the early 90s. I know it. Firebreaker Chip and those guys, that was Ed's WCW right there. So thoughts on Dark Side of the Ring?
Ed?
You know, I mean, I honestly didn't watch it. I mean, I watched the Eddie Graham stuff, and I thought that was pretty good. So, you know, I don't really have a lot to talk about this other one, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I thought there were some interesting things that I mean, it's like back in the 80s with that, those poor guys that you see more and more of, those guys were all involved in drugs, hard drugs. And it's the travel schedule is probably the majority of, I mean, working 200, 300 days a year. Those guys had to do something to get by, and they got hooked on all that stuff. And he was a mess from what they were talking about in that thing. I mean, he was certainly on everything. And they say he probably didn't do a match clean. I mean, that's scary. That, and it's a miracle that nobody got hurt while they were in the ring with him.
The story about Matt Bourne that I always heard, and I cannot believe that they did not touch on it, especially after the Grizzly Smith stuff, was when he was in, I'm not sure if it was Georgia or Mid-Atlantic, he ended up having to leave there because he got an underage girl pregnant. Mm-hmm. And there was at the time, it was like a huge thing. And I don't know if it was, I know why they didn't touch on it, because, you know, it is called Dark Side of the Ring. But there is a story there. I've seen it on YouTube a few times. I don't know if Ole Anderson tells the story where he had to send him packing quick because people were looking for him or something like that. But to their discredit, if they covered that up and they just shushed him away, I know it's not their problem, but they got rid of him. They probably should have pressed charges for that or whatever. He should have face some kind of penalty for that. But he seemed like, you know, that the gimmick, it just kind of fit that whole doink thing. Huh? Kind of, he was like a good fit for that. And I didn't even realize how Steve Kern was the first guy to fill in for him. One of the characters that Steve Kern really never really talks about, you'd think Steve Kern in WWE, you always think Skinner. You never think doink. But you know, thoughts on that character, Tom? Did you like it? Did you not like it?
I didn't mind it. I mean, I'll be honest with you. And I mean, the guy could work. He did a lot of work. I mean, he was a good worker, and he made everything he could work. I mean, it was interesting. And then with a few other things with Doink, is the guy, he didn't make sense when they said he hated the character, but yet he went out and bought a bathtub and put Doink on the side of the bathtub. And I mean, he didn't like the character, but he liked the money that came in with it, I guess. I mean, it's just, he wanted both. He wanted his cake and he wanted to eat it too, I guess you'd say. It's just, I don't know. I got a bad taste in my mouth from him. It was I felt bad for his family, his ex-wife and his kids. I mean, that was tough to watch.
It's funny when you watch those, it seems like the spouses or the ex-wives are always the ones that have the best stories about the guys that nobody really knows. And it seems like if they were genuinely nice guys, they still really like them, you know, even after the fact. But it seems like the ones that are dirtbags, it's just right, you know, it just carries through pretty much their whole time. So, you know, he was at WrestleMania 1, fought Steamboat. Couldn't, you know, stay off whatever he was on. And, you know, always seemed like a troublemaker, that Brian Blair story where he like fought him three times in the bar. And it always seems like when Brian Blair tells the story, he always seems like the guy that if anybody was ever going to try to pick on, it was always Brian Blair for some reason. Seems like just maybe because he was a smaller guy at the time, you know, just quiet. They seem like that was the guy everybody always screwed around with. So it seems like that's the guy that always had to defend himself all the time. So they credit to him for, you know, kicking his ass three times in one night. So, next week, Junkyard Dog, that should be a good one.
I'm really looking forward to that one.
Yeah. Good story about him. You know, had mega popularity, you know, probably was like the Black Dusty Rhodes kind of, but just couldn't stay off the crack and all that stuff. And, you know, at the end, the way that he died in a car accident, killed by a drunk driver while he was sober. Crazy. It's just a crazy story. So it should be good. That's next week. So Tom, want to hit us with, you know, you're sponsored by your shirt. So let's do this some justice. I wish I had theme music to play before, you know, dun, 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 dun. The world-class theme music.
All right.
Yep.
Let's get ready to embrace the suck, people.
Tom's Shitty Picks. That's going to be
the Tom's Shitty Picks. Write that down. Write that down. It's Tom's Shitty Picks. Write it down. Write it down.
I want to say that last week I nailed it with Juan Soto. He had 31 points going into actually last night and today. I don't know what he did last night, but he had 31 points. He had 3 home runs and 6 RBIs. I nailed it with him. This week I'm bleeding Dodger blue, and both my picks are Dodger players. I'm going with Freddie Freeman as my hitter. They're playing on the road for both series. He's playing in Colorado, and he's playing against Kansas City. I think he's going to rack the ball. He's going to smack. I mean, Colorado gave up 25 runs last night to Anaheim. So, I mean, I think he's going to have a huge night. And my pitcher of the week is going to be Clayton Kershaw. He's pitching two games this week. One's against Colorado, one's against Kansas City. Both are weak lineups. I think he's going to go get at least – well, not at least. He's going to get 2 wins, I'd say. I guess I would think – somewhere between 20 points for him for the week.
So, great picks for the week. Not shitty picks.
No shitty picks.
No shitty picks. So, we're going to start selling those shirts, and all the proceeds are going to go to Tom to help him buy fantasy books
yes.
for a season. Yep, that's what it's going to go for.
Buy my ESPN Plus subscription.
Yep. Yep, it'll go to a good cause. It's called We're Poor.
Tired of couch fishing.
Yep. So with that being said, let's do a quick couple shout outs. Ed, we'll start with you. Do you have any shout outs this week that you want to mention?
I do. It's kind of a sad one. I just want to let you know that yesterday we lost a good one. A guy named John McDougal. I trained with him quite a bit down here. Not sure quite all the details of what happened, but he was out on a bike ride and he didn't make it. So he's a good human, good guy. Always, you know, always had a tremendous amount of respect for people that strapped on the skates and the axe. You know, he always was like, man, he's like, I don't know how you guys ever did it, man. He's like, and just a good human being, and always really kind of, you know, tried to make the, I'd say he always made you felt good when you had a conversation with him, and always tried to make his community better. And so very sad passing from yesterday. So just, you know, let his family know that we're thinking about him.
So you said that he was 52 also, Ed, right?
Yes, sir.
May I just like to bring certain things up because it is our age demographic. These guys that we know, you know, that pass away, it's tough. So that's kind of what, not to get sentimental, but that's kind of why we do this podcast. We try to keep everybody together, people that, you know, maybe watch it that we haven't seen, or you know, they watch it on the down low, and you know, we know a lot of people struggling right now at, you know, the 50 plus mark. And, you know, we just want to let you know that we're in the same boat. We're in that demographic, and we're just here to, you know, maybe give you a chuckle for a half an hour and put some smiles on faces. So Tom, how about some shout outs this week?
I've got a quick shout out, and it's another fairly sad one. I want to give a shout out to the Richardson family, Carol, Seth, Peter, and, Katie. They lost their father. We called him Pastor Bob, Bob Richardson, and we had the memorial service yesterday for him. And it was a great day celebrating his life and heard a lot of great stories. And I just want to let them know I'm thinking of them.
And I just want to give a quick shout out to somebody else we know that passed away, not directly, but our buddy Tim. His brother Mike passed away recently, and it was sudden. He was, I believe he was 52, 53. So, Tim, if you see this, I just want to let you know that, you know, it doesn't go unnoticed. And it's just, it's tough to put it in words when people pass and you don't know what the right thing to do is sometimes. So you always try to, you know, smiles sometimes are probably the best medicine. And you know, it's not suppressing anything or not acknowledging that people pass. It's just trying to get through it and, you know, hoping for the best. So speaking of the best, we're going to go with Tom with his CD picks of the week. And Tom, what do you got this week?
This week, I'm going with some Southern rock, and I'm going to go with the Black Crowes, Shake Your Moneymaker. It was released in 1990, and it was named, which I didn't know, it was named after an Elmore James song, which I never knew. And so I learned that looking this up this week. And it's got 11 great songs on it. Jealous Again, Could Have Been So Blind, She Talks to Angels, Thick and Thin, and the one that I didn't realize was an Otis Redding cover, Hard to Handle. Now, if the Robinson Brothers could get their stuff together, I mean, they would have had some unbelievable years of albums. I mean, we've seen them live, Andy and I, and they're awesome. They're just an unbelievable show.
Yeah, they are a really good show. I remember when that album came out, it was kind of like, it didn't have a lot of traction, but when Hard to Handle was the first kind of single off of that, it kind of gave them the spotlight, which is still in heavy rotation. There's a lot of real good songs on that. Not my favorite Black Crowes album out of the whole mix, but it is a really, really good album. I mean, if you like them, that's the one that I would start with. Seen them live, I think, 3 different times. And they're one of those bands that they don't really have a set list. They just kind of play. And as Tom brought it up, the Robinson Brothers, you know, it's these bands like the Kinks and Oasis and they have brothers in the band and they can't get along and blah, 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 blah. I've never seen I'll say it all the time. I've never seen a genre where 4 guys cannot get on the same page to make millions of dollars. I don't get it. It's like you tour for just the summer and then call it quits. Like you go out for the summer, take 4 different tour buses, see each other for 3 hours or 2 hours on stage and go your separate ways. At least you won't regret it years later. Like, you know, it's like when Peter Criss passes away, because he's the oldest one. I'm assuming he'll probably pass away first. Then they'll praise the guy. You got him now. Praise him now while he's alive. It's like these people they put in the Hall of Fame after they pass away. Praise them while they're alive. Make them feel good. Don't shun them while they're still with us. That's not good human nature. So, you know, it's pumping tires, especially when you're older. There's no skins in the game anymore. Peter Chris isn't going to take Eric Singer's spot. And, you know, that's just an example I'm giving. But, you know, make the most of it when you have it. Because when they're gone, like the Abbott brothers, Daryl and Vinny, it's not the same. It's the same, but it's not the same. So just make the best of it while you have it. That's my public service announcement. Ed, what do you think of the Black Crowes?
I think they're great, man. Some of those guitar riffs to start those songs off, man, they're great. You know, it's like when guys played instruments to play instruments. And you know, and to circle back, like, you know, like to see all these bands with all this dysfunction, it's like, why can't you guys just play? Like, you know, I mean, like you travel on these big convoys from city to city to take your point. Like, look, man, you can hop in 3 or 4 different buses. You don't have to be up each other's ass 24/7. But like, man, these guys really sounded good, you know, and they got a lot of traction. Like, after a couple of songs started playing, I mean, as we all know, you know, HJY used to put it in the mix every 3.5 hours. They play the same song over and over and over again, you know. I mean, we all know that. I mean, I was like, you know, it's kind of like one of those things. But to take your point back about, you know, be kind to people that when they're here. I think that resonates very loud for a lot of different people, you know, and you know, you're not guaranteed every trip around the sun. So
no, and the worst part about the whole thing is I'm not saying that you got to be a pushover in life and not stand your ground. I mean, especially our generation, we put up with bullies. There's no bullies anymore. It's a different kind of thing. But if you don't have that little bit of resistance in your life, it makes the little things seem bigger. Like when you go for a job, if everybody gets a ribbon, you're going to be devastated when you don't get a job because they're only taking one, not creating seven. That's how it is. It's lost. And here's a Gen X rant for everybody that thinks Gen X isn't tough. We're the last of the great ones. We are the last ones. We are the last ones. The last ones that are built tough. Nobody else is built tough. And not anymore.
We're race tough.
Always tough. Even if you grew up and you weren't tough, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm like mentally strong, common sense, able to handle a situation. You know, and it's not always a verbal altercation or a violent or anything like that. It's able to handle yourself. That's lost. It's lost with what would, you know, I don't want to foo-foo anything social media wise, but this platform gives us a chance to say we are the last great generation. Yeah, I don't think you guys can argue with that one. Ed?
No agreement, no disagreement there, but think about who our grandparents were. They were the greatest generation.
Yeah, oh, well, hey, listen, if it wasn't for certain people fighting whatever for whatever cause, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. So,
that's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, you say potato, I say potato. You can't argue over it. It's the same thing. So
that's right.
With that being said, next week, special episode 20, we're going to try to get something. Oh, can't believe we're there already. We're going to do something. We'll talk about some stuff. Got the NHL draft coming up, other things to talk about. So with that being said, we're going to sign off for this week. So for Tom, Ed, me, later on, everyone.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, John.
All right. So that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another week in the books, fellas.
Yeah. Yep.
Send me that, just attach it to something and send it to me. Not on my phone. Send it in an email.
Okay. You're a hockey hero at Comcast?
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Send it to that and I'll put it on a shirt and we'll put it out there. And then we'll advertise it.
Yep, I did this last night. Me and Kelly did this last night, and we couldn't get the thing to come out on the shirt, so we had to go out this morning. We got up early this morning, went to Walmart to buy
the templates.
Yeah.
Cool.
I love it, Tom.
Ed, coming home in a couple weeks, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, the end of July.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll give you the dates and times.
I wonder how we're going to do that, the podcast, that weekend. That'll be
cool. I'll do it together.